General knowledge, practice test 4. Question number 1. A front wheel skid is usually caused by driving too fast for conditions, lack of tread on the front tires, cargo improperly loaded, or all of the above. The answer is all of the above. In 2.19.3, front wheel skids, driving too fast for conditions, which is A, causes most front wheel skids. Other causes include lack of tread on the front tires, which was B, and cargo loaded, so not enough weight is on the front axle, which was C. That's why all of the above is the correct answer. Question number 2. An engine retarder or Jake brake is designed to use engine power to slow down the vehicle, apply braking power to the steering wheel, work only with manual transmissions, and work when you accelerate. The answer is use engine power to slow down the vehicle. In 2.3.4, it talks about retarders and the different types of retarders there are, but an engine retarder, by definition, uses engine power to slow down the vehicle. So this is more of a logically correct answer than one given to you in the CDL manual. Question 3. By law, you must have your vehicle's lights on 1/2 hour after sunset until 1/2 hour before sunrise, unless street lights are lit, only when there's not enough natural light to see clearly, or none of the above. The answer is 1/2 hour after sunset until 1/2 hour before sunrise. But quick note, it won't have this in any CDO manuals, even though this has 2.11 driving at night. Only some states have the 30 minutes after sunset until 30 minutes before sunrise rule, and most will just say headlights must be turned on when visibility is low. Question number 4. Driving at night is more dangerous because of the following, except most people are less alert at night due to fatigue. Headlights often cause glare, which can blind drivers. Traffic lights are less visible than in the day. There are more drunk drivers at night. The answer is traffic lights are less visible than in the day. In 2.11, once again, we are in the night driving at night section, and it talks about factors of why driving at night is more dangerous. It talks about the glare, which is the headlights can cause glare problem. It talks about fatigue and lack of alertness, which was the first one. Most people are less alert at night due to fatigue, and it also talks about, in the next page, there are more drunk drivers at night, and be alert around the closing times for bars and taverns, which would be at night. Question number 5. How should you hold your hands on the steering wheel? Near the bottom of the wheel, opposite sides of the wheel, near the top of the wheel, or one hand on the steering wheel and one hand on the shifter? The answer is opposite sides of the wheel. In 2.2.2 in steering, says hold the steering wheel firmly with both hands. Your hands should be on the opposite sides of the wheel. Number 6. Hydroplaning can occur when you drive through water or slush. If you experience hydroplaning, you should lightly tap your brakes to slow down, release the accelerator and push in the clutch, steer hard to the right, or speed up to get through the water quickly. The answer is release the accelerator and push in the clutch. From 2.6.2 matching speed to the road surface, there's a section on hydroplaning where it says you can regain control by releasing the accelerator and pushing in the clutch. Question 7. If you find you're being tailgated, you should quickly change lanes to avoid an accident, flash your brake lights to warn the tailgater, decrease the distance between you and the tailgater, or increase the distance in front of you if possible. The answer is increase the distance in front of you if possible. 2.7.2, space behind, dealing with tailgaters safely. If you find yourself being tailgated, here are some things you could do to reduce the chances of a crash. And it has increase your following distance. Opening up room in front of you will help you avoid having to make sudden speed or direction changes. It also makes it easier for the tailgater to get around you. Question number 8. If you're required to keep a log of your time, you may bring it up to date once a week. Any FHWA agent may inspect it. You may assign your co-driver to fill it out and sign it for you, or you should add an hour when you cross a time zone. The answer is any FHWA agent may inspect it. Federal Highway Administration agent, or a DOT agent, or any law enforcement official may inspect your driving logs. Question number 9. If your vehicle doesn't pass a roadside inspection, it can be declared out of service. You cannot drive the vehicle, even to a repair station. You may repair it on the spot, then resume your trip, or all of the above. The answer is all of the above. In 2.1.1, why inspect? It talks about federal and state inspectors also may inspect your vehicles. If they judge the vehicle to be unsafe, they will put it out of service until it is fixed. So it does say that it can be declared out of service, and then until it is fixed, the idea is you may repair it on the spot and then resume your trip once you have it fixed, and you cannot drive the vehicle even to a repair station. It's just a logical conclusion. So that's why all of the above is correct. Question 10. Normal oil pressure while idling is 165 to 185 Fahrenheit, 30 to 75 PSI, 30 to 35 PSI, or 5 to 15 PSI. The answer is 5 to 15 PSI in 2.1.5 7-step inspection method. There is a section here talks about the oil pressure while idling is 5 to 20 PSI, which is a little bit different, but this does depend on your vehicle. But this is the only one that's even close. Obviously, Fahrenheit has nothing to do with oil pressure, and the others are way too high. It's generally in the 5 to 15 or 5 to 20 PSI range. Question number 11. Progressive shifting means downshifting at lower RPM as you reach lower gears, downshifting at higher RPM as you reach the lower gears, upshifting at lower RPM as you reach the higher gears, or upshifting at higher RPM as you reach the highest gears. The answer is upshifting at higher RPM as you reach the highest gears. In 2.3.1 manual transmission, talks about using engine speed or RPM. Study the driver's manual for your vehicle and learn the operating RPM range. Watch your tachometer and shift up when your engine reaches the top of the range. Some newer vehicles use progressive shifting. The RPM at which you shift becomes higher as you move up in the gears. Find out what's right for the vehicle you will operate. Question 12. The best way to put out a fire is to get as close as possible and spray the flames. Stand downwind and spray the flames. Stand upwind and spray the base of the fire, or stop spraying as soon as the flames disappear. The answer is stay upwind and spray the base of the fire. In 2.21.3 firefighting, there's two areas. One under extinguish the fire says aim at the source or base of the fire, not up in the flames. And also position yourself upwind, let the wind carry the extinguisher to the fire. So I see is correct. Question number 13. The following are all probable signs of a tire blowout except a loud bang, a vibration of the vehicle, the smell of smoke, or a thumping sound. The answer is the smell of smoke. In 2.17.4, tire failure, it mentions the loud bang of a blowout, an easy recognizable sign. Also, vibration if the vehicle bumps or vibrates heavily. It may be a sign that one of the tires has gone flat. So it mentions a loud bang and a vibration of the vehicle and a thumping sound, both in this section here. It does not mention the smell of smoke. You may never smell smoke if you're going down the road from a tire failure. Question number 14. The road you are driving on becomes very slippery due to black ice. Which of these is a good thing to do in such a situation? Apply the brakes often to keep the linings dry, downshift to stop, drive at a varying speed, or stop driving and park where it is safe to do so. It's the last one. Stop driving and park where it is safe to do so. In 2.6.2, matching speed to the road surface, the section on black ice. Black ice is a thin layer that is clear enough that you can see the road underneath it. It makes the road look wet. Anytime the temperature is below freezing and the road looks wet, watch out for black ice. It also mentions here that if the road is icy, reduce speed to a crawl and stop driving as soon as you can safely do so. Question 15. To avoid a crash, you had to drive onto the right shoulder. You are now driving at 40 miles per hour on the shoulder. How should you proceed? Keep moving at the present speed and steer very gently back onto the pavement. Steer sharply onto the pavement and countersteer when both back wheels of your vehicle are on the road. Brake hard to slow the vehicle, then steer sharply onto the road, or come to a complete stop if possible before continuing back onto the road. It's the last one. Come to a complete stop if possible before continuing back onto the road. In 2.17.1, steering to avoid a crash, says stay on the shoulder. If the shoulder is clear, stay on it until your vehicle has come to a stop. Signal and check your mirrors before pulling back onto the road. Question number 16. To correct a drive wheel acceleration skid, you should stop accelerating and push in the clutch, downshift, pump the brake, or accelerate quickly. The answer is stop accelerating and push in the clutch. In 2.19.1, drive wheel skids. Taking your foot off the accelerator can easily stop them, being a drive wheel skid. If it's very slippery, push the clutch in. Otherwise, the engine can keep the wheels from rolling freely and regaining traction. Question number 17. To correct a rear wheel or drive wheel braking skid, you should apply more braking pressure to the brake pedal, release brakes and accelerate, apply more pressure to the brake pedal and steer countersteer, or release the brakes and steer countersteer. It's the last one, release the brakes and steer countersteer. 2.19.2, correcting a drive wheel braking skid. Do the following to correct a drive wheel braking skid. Stop braking. This will let the rear wheels roll again and keep the rear wheels from sliding. Countersteer. As a vehicle turns back on course, it has a tendency to keep on turning. Unless you turn the steering wheel quickly the other way, you may find yourself skidding in the opposite direction. Question number 18. Water can be used to extinguish which of the following fires? Tires, electrical, gasoline, or chemical fire? Answer is tires. In 2.21.3, in using the right fire extinguisher, water can be used on wood, paper, or cloth, but don't use water on an electrical fire, can cause shock, or gasoline fire. It'll spread the flames. And it mentions specifically a burning tire must be cooled. Lots of water may be required. That's why tires is the correct answer. Number 19. When driving at highway speeds, you should look 12 to 15 seconds ahead, which is at least 100 yards, at least a half a mile, at least a quarter of a mile, or at least one tractor trailer length. The answer is it's at least a quarter of a mile. This comes from CDL Manual Section 2.4.1, Seeing Ahead. Look at least 12 to 15 seconds ahead. That means looking ahead the distance you will travel in 12 to 15 seconds. At lower speeds, that's about one block. At highway speeds, it's about a quarter of a mile. Question 20. When driving in heavy traffic, you should travel at a speed consistent with the flow of traffic, 5 miles per hour less than automobiles regardless of posted limits, in the left lane when possible to avoid heavy lanes of traffic, or in the right lane to avoid passing. It's at a speed consistent with the flow of traffic. 2.6.5, speed and traffic flow. Drive at the speed of the traffic if you can without going at an illegal or unsafe speed. Question 21. When making a right-hand turn, you should always steer into the left lane first so you can make the corner, rush through an intersection so you can get out of the way of traffic, back up to make the driver behind you move back, or keep the rear of your vehicle close to the curb. The answer is the last one, keep the rear of your vehicle close to the curb. 2.7.6, space for turns, right turns. Here are some rules to help prevent right turn crashes. If you're driving a truck or bus that cannot make the right turn without swinging into another lane, turn wide as you complete the turn. Keep the rear of your vehicle close to the curb. This will stop other drivers from passing you on the right. Question 22. Which of the following are causes of vehicle fires? Spilled fuel, short circuits, driver smoking, or all of the above? It's all of the above in 221.1, causes of fire. The following are some causes of vehicle fires. One says after accidents, that's spilled fuel, improper use of flares. Also, tires, underinflated tires, and duals to touch. That was not mentioned in the question. Electrical system, short circuits due to damaged insulation and loose connections. The short circuits was mentioned. And fuel, driver smoking, improper fueling, loose fuel connections. So the spilled fuel was another one that was mentioned. Also, just in case it's asked, cargo is another one. Flammable cargo, improperly sealed or loaded cargo, poor ventilation are all causes of fire. Question 23. Which of the following statements about your mirrors is true? You cannot see your tires. You should be able to see any cars overtaking you. You should be able to see any vehicles behind your trailer, or some objects may appear smaller in your mirrors. So that last one, some objects may appear smaller in your mirrors. 2.4.2, seen to the sides and rear. It says, everything appears smaller in a convex mirror than it would if you were looking at it directly. Question number 24. Which of these is the most important thing to remember about emergency braking? If the wheels are skidding, you cannot control vehicle. Disconnecting steering axle brakes will help keep the vehicle in a straight line during emergency braking. Never do it without downshifting first. It wears brake linings. The answer is, if the wheels are skidding, you cannot control the vehicle, which is specified in 2.17.2, how to stop quickly and safely. If the wheels are skidding, you cannot control the vehicle. Question 25. Which of these statements about downshifting is true? When you downshift for a curve, you should do so before you enter the curve. When double clutching, you should let the RPMs decrease while the clutch is released and the shift lever is in neutral. When you downshift for a hill, you should do so after you start down the hill, or all of the above. Answer is, when you downshift for curve, you should do so before you enter the curve. In 2.3.1, manual transmissions as before entering a curve. Slow down to a safe speed and downshift to the right gear before entering a curve. This lets you use some power through the curb to help the vehicle be more stable while turning. It also allows you to speed up as soon as you're out of the curve. Question 26. Which of these statements about drugs is true? A driver can use any prescription drug while driving. Amphetamines, pep pills, or bennies can be used to help the driver stay alert. Use of drugs can lead to accidents and or arrest, or all of the above. The answer is, use of drugs can lead to accidents and or arrest. In 2.22.1, alcohol and driving, and 2.22.2, other drugs. Laws prohibit possession or use of many drugs while on duty. They prohibit being under the influence of any controlled substance, amphetamines, including pep pills, uppers, and bennies, narcotics, or any other substance which can make the driver unsafe. Which is the part about use of drugs can lead to accidents and or arrest, being that they're illegal. And also in the next following page, use of drugs can lead to traffic accidents resulting in death, injury, and property damage. Furthermore, it can lead to arrest, fines, and jail sentences. It can also mean the end of a person's driving career. So the answer is, use of drugs can lead to accidents and or arrest. Question 27. Which of these statements about managing space is true? Smaller vehicles require more space to stop than larger ones. When the road is slippery, you should keep much more space in front of your vehicle. Many accidents are caused by drivers keeping too much space in front of their vehicles, or all of the above. The answer is, when the road is slippery, you should keep much more space in front of your vehicle. 2.7.1, space ahead. Remember that when the road is slippery, you need much more space to stop. 28. When driving, ice builds up on your wipers and they no longer clean the windshield. You should keep driving and spray the windshield with washer fluid. Keep driving and reach out of the window and knock the ice off. Pull over in a safe place and remove the ice, or keep driving and turn your defroster on. The answer is pull over in a safe place and remove the ice. 2.13.1 Vehicle checks. Windows and mirrors. Remove any ice, snow, etc. from the windshield, windows, and mirrors before starting. Use a windshield scraper, snow brush, and windshield defroster if necessary. Implied is that if you can't see and there's ice on your wipers and your windshield, you need to stop and get that all knocked off. Question number 29. You are driving in the right lane of a four-lane undivided road and come over a hill and find a car stopped ahead of you in your lane. You do not have room to stop, and a hill blocks your view to the rear. Which of these is the most likely, the best action to take? Steer to the right, use hard braking, and brace for collision. Steer into the left lane, or steer into the oncoming lanes. The answer, steer to the right. In 2.17.1, steering to avoid a crash, and where to steer. If the shoulder is clear, going right may be best. No one is likely to be driving on the shoulder, but somebody may be passing you on the left. You will know if you have been using your mirrors. Also, if you're blocked on both sides, a move to the right may be best. At least you won't force anyone into an opposing traffic lane in a possible head-on collision. So, steer to the right is often your best choice. Question number 30. You must stop on the side of a level, straight, two-lane road. Where should you place the three reflective triangles? One within 10 feet of the rear of the vehicle, one about 100 feet to the rear, and one about 200 feet to the rear. Next, one within 10 feet of the front of the vehicle, one about 200 feet from the front, and one about 100 feet to the rear. Next, one within 10 feet of the rear of the vehicle, one about 100 feet to the rear, and one about 100 feet to the front of the vehicle. And the final option is one about 50 feet from the rear of the vehicle, one about 100 feet to the rear, and one about 100 feet to the front of the vehicle. So, the answer is one within 10 feet of the rear of the vehicle, one about 100 feet to the rear, and one about 100 feet from the front of the vehicle. 2.5.2 Communicating your presence. It says, if you stop on a two-lane road carrying traffic in both directions or on an undivided highway, place warning devices within 10 feet of the front or rear corners to mark the location of the vehicle and 100 feet behind and ahead of the vehicle on the shoulder or in the lane you stopped in. And it shows you a description in the manual here with the 100 feet to the front, 10 feet to the rear, and 100 feet to the rear of the vehicle.